The first reading is taken from the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6 to 17. That's 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, starting at verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The second reading is found in Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. He also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come." Again he said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that all the birds of the air can perch in its shade." With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. Right, so I have the title of Seeds and Sprouts, which this time of year we can see lots of, so an interesting one to be talking about. These little parables are sort of lodged in between several parables that come in Mark's Gospel. They're two quite little ones, but two quite important ones. So I want to start by giving you a couple of scenarios. So you might at work be praying for someone like crazy, someone you work for. You tell them all about Jesus. You tell them about what he did while he was here on earth. You also tell them a bit about your faith and what Jesus means to you. You might well invite them maybe to the cafe to start with, but then might invite them to church on Sunday. You're prepared to help them in as many ways as you find possible so that you can show them the love of Christ. But nothing happens. We as a church hold a barbecue in the summer. Well, I think we were going to do this in a couple of weeks' time. We may well do, or we may have it later, but we'll have it as a sort of event in the summer. We do similar things at Christmas, as most of you know. We've got free food available, lots of activities for children and adults, and we pray really fervently that these events will bring people to God. Lots of people do come. I've been here on lots of them, found lots of people there. But few of those will turn up at church on a Sunday morning. So with all the work that goes into all these events that we do, sometimes it appears that nothing is happening. So why isn't the kingdom becoming enlarged by all the work that we do? The parable of the sower, which is right at the beginning of Mark's chapter 4, may explain a little bit why, when sowing seeds, it doesn't always give you a healthy plant. It continues with the two parables, trying to illustrate what pictures of what the kingdom of God is like. Jesus is encouraging to share our faith, even when we don't see results, because God is doing the work and the harvest will come. Shall we just pray for a moment? Lord God, we want to experience your kingdom here on earth. We want to make a difference to those around us. We want to see them come into your kingdom. Sometimes we feel frustrated that this is not happening fast enough. As we look at these two parables, give us the grace to see what we need to do and how we need to do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I really do love flowers and I love my garden. But I'm going to tell you now that I'm not a gardener. Like most of us, I suppose, I can plant already grown plants. So if I go and buy them from the garden centre or somewhere where they're already in little pockets and things and I plant them, I do some quite well with those. I've had some quite amazing results. As to seeds, then that's quite a bit different. Trying to get seeds to grow can be quite difficult. I think most gardeners will know that. When I was a little girl, my grandmother was an absolutely superb gardener. She could plant anything and it would grow. One of these green-fingered peoples that most people would love to be. She was also very vocal about plants. She knew what plants were out there. She knew where to plant them. She knew what they needed to grow. And her garden was absolutely amazing. In the summer, it was really one of those wonderful places you would love to be. If any of you have been to the Vicarage Garden, of course, you'll know that Tim's also a very keen gardener, and he can grow plants, amazing plants, and I look at his garden and think, oh, I wish I could do that. And I suspect they both, my grandmother and Tim, have both got a fair idea how to make plants grow. These two pictures give us a picture of the kingdom of God and give us an image of what it's like and how to grow it. Jesus starts by talking about a man scattering seeds. It's in verse 26. And then just letting them grow. He tells us that the man does not have to understand how the seeds turns into the grain that can be harvested. He just knows, as long as he waters it and cares for it, the seeds will sprout, and as soon as it's ripe, he needs to harvest it. We sow seeds, and over time, we watch and care for them. This might be by doing many things. It might be by telling people about Jesus, direct missions that we have that we talked about earlier. It just might be by the daily contact that we have with people who are around us. We don't have to understand how that will produce the fruit. That's a work that the Holy Spirit does. I've heard, and I think most of you have probably heard that phrase many times, bringing people to the Lord. Actually, I think the Lord brings people to himself. We've just got to point them in the right direction. So firstly, from that first parable, we must plant the seeds. Seeds don't grow on their own if we don't plant them. We have to do that job of planting, and we have to do the job of caring. If we do that, God does the rest. So if you think of some seeds in their own little packet, and you don't do anything with them, will they grow? Of course not, they won't, will they? They will just not go if you put them in a packet. So our response must be to plant seeds. Do this by telling people the news, the good news of the Gospels, and sharing our faith, and making time to be around those with opportunities to share with them. As an example, you don't get a lovely meal unless someone buys the ingredients and then cooks it. You can't have a painting unless someone has some paint and draws that painting. You can't write a letter if someone doesn't take a pen and start to write on a piece of paper. Food won't turn into a dish on its own. Paint won't produce a masterpiece on its own. And a pen won't write a letter on its own. Seeds will not grow unless you plant them, and you have to physically do this. Secondly, from that bit, that parable, it's God that makes the kingdom grow. So once planted, we should leave the rest to God. The mystery is that once the seed is in the ground, the work is done in secret. We don't know how or understand how the seed suddenly germinates, and we don't see the work because he's actually underground. But when we see the shoots appear, we know the work has been done. I know some scientists among us will understand the process of how seeds grow in a much better way than anybody can understand. But the process is done in the ground in secret, which so we don't see. Unlike some people might say, it doesn't seem that we appear that we can talk to seeds and they will grow. They just do it on their own. In the same way, God does the working people in a way that is secret. It isn't our job to convict people. That's a job that God does. In Hebrews 14, it says, God's word is living and active. It's that that does the work. But we do have a responsibility to care. We've still, for example, got to water plants. They won't grow. We have to ensure that we don't have weeds around them, or they'll get choked. We go back to the parable of the sower. That's what Jesus is talking about. We can do all these things, but it's still God that makes the plant grow. So then, Jesus goes on to talk about mustard seeds. Now, Jesus and the disciples all around him would not have known an awful lot about seeds. If you think about it, there were no shops around, there were no supermarkets, people didn't just go and get food, they had to grow it, and they had to grow it from scratch. So he would have known all about seeds, and people around would have known about the different sorts of seed, and would certainly have seen the mustard seeds. And they would have known, of course, that mustard seeds are very tiny. They would have known how tiny they were. And sometimes when you look at something so tiny, you might think, how is this going to produce a plant that could have leaves that protect birds and give them shelter to sit in? But not only that, it actually doesn't need an awful lot to make a mustard seed grow. You can read gardening books and see that. But what I've got here, if Darren can zoom in, are some mustard seeds that I actually started growing last week. I think you can just about see those. And actually, they're not there. If you came and looked at this really closely, what you'd see is there is no soil. I didn't lay any soil on it. What I just did is laid some tissue paper on the plastic tray, and all I've done is kept water on them. So every day, making sure there was enough water on them. So they have just grown amazingly over the last week, and they're already about 4 centimetres high. Put those down. Those of you that are gardeners will know that not all seeds will grow in that sort of way. I go for a daily walk every morning, and certainly just in the beginning of end of March, beginning of April, as I was walking along, I suddenly spotted these very beautiful magnolia trees, which were growing in, outside and looking really lovely. Those of you who have seen magnolia trees in April will know that the flower on the magnolia tree is absolutely beautiful. And I really sort of fell quite in love with these and fascinated by them. So I was looking up how I could grow these. And the first thing is how you grow them from seed. Let me tell you a little bit about the process of growing a magnolia seed from a seed. First of all, you need to collect them. And they don't come just fall on the ground. They come in like a little cusp, which you have to pick the seeds out of. So you go and get your seeds and you collect them. And they're sort of, I think they can be different colours, but the ones I've seen are red. And that's not the end of the job. You can't just go out and plant that seed. First thing you have to do is to take the outer layer off the seed. So you put it in a bit of water for a bit, and then the layer will come off if you just scratch it, and it comes off. And inside the outer layer is the actual seed. You still can't just go out and plant it in the ground. What you then have to do is what's called a period of stratification. Gardeners will know what that means. You put it in some soil in a plastic bag and then place it at the back of the fridge for 4 months. Okay? Now that goes in the fridge and it stays there for 4 months. After 4 months, you can take that out. They may have sprouted, but you can take them out and then you can plant them in pots and hopefully they will grow. But not all of them will. If anybody knows about seeds, particularly magnolia ones, you may get half of them grow, the other half may not. So there's not an automatic thing that they will grow. If we left them outside, as nature intended, as we say, the birds would eat the seeds and take off the outer layer and then leave them to grow. But of course, all this happens in late autumn when it's starting to get cold. So they get a few months of cold weather, the stratification, as we call it, and then, of course, they may well grow. And they may not, but they may well grow. The process, measured against how I put those mustard seeds down to grow, cannot be measured. It is so much easier to grow mustard seeds. This is what the kingdom of God is like. It's not like a magnolia seed. It's like a mustard seed. If you plant it and do some very basic things, it will grow. And let me tell you that I looked at it this morning and thought about 99% of those seeds have actually grown into a little plant. So most of, there's very few that don't grow. God's kingdom starts with something essentially very small, but it grows to something very large. I'm told after 6 weeks, these plants could be about 60 centimetres tall. That's about 2 feet for those of you who like imperial measures. They're already 4 centimetres tall, as I've just said. When you consider that the seed is so tiny, this is an amazing amount of growth in such a small amount of time. And not only that, the large leaves, they're a protection for birds who can perch on it. This is the next part in that parable. So as we grow, we build a layer of protection for people around us. And they can come and rest in our branches and in our presence. Think of everybody that comes into this place, the children's groups, the groups that meet. The cafe is a place where people can find shelter. They may go away and leave us, but we may actually have sown a seed. The point is, it's very easy to grow the kingdom. We don't need complicated theologies. We don't need the best preachers in the world to grow the kingdom of God. Or indeed, do we need special buildings? This pandemic has taught us that the kingdom of God can grow wherever it is. It doesn't need particular things. But what we do need to provide is shelter. We need to provide water. And in other things, those very basic things, and the kingdom will grow. We can start small, but together we can grow into something very large. We don't need to do much to grow the kingdom. So during the coming week, think about flowers and plants and seeds and start growing your faith. It might be at work or with family, or maybe even just responses to questions asked. Think about sharing your faith when opportunities arise. This will sow the seed. Don't worry about what will happen next. Remember that God does the work. Maybe someone feels the call of Jesus on their lives. Come to Jesus, who longs to welcome you into the kingdom. It is very easy. As we grow in the kingdom, we offer protection to those around us. In the conversations, in the cafe, in the groups that meet around the building. Let's pray that when what people see in our lives and the church puts a protective barrier around them, like the leaves and branches of the mustard seed. Remember, we are mustard seeds. We grow with very little effort.